from ghouls, ghosties, and things that go bump in the night. Lord, deliver us. Good evening, spooks and spookettes. Count Rahoon here, and it is time for yet another feature of Fright. Before we begin tonight's episode, let us tend to the castle-keeping notes. Unfortunately, due to the COVID-19 plague, we have had to cancel our live shows until further notice. Well, the one we were supposed to do at the Music Valley Event Center is postponed, but the one for tomorrow night is cancelled. It appears that Nick Newton's and Spinelli's has gone out of business. We are deeply saddened by this news, but are so grateful for the great shows and wonderful memories that were made with them. Thank you, Spinelli's, for giving us the chance to perform. We love you, and we will miss you. However, tentatively, it does look like our April 3rd show at the Loft at Third Coast in Nashville is still on. We will feature a horror and Celtic-themed pop-up art show, a round table about horror films with our friends at the Deliciously Nothing podcast, and of course, our Celtic Terror radio show, featuring our adaptations of Robert Louis Stevenson's The Body Snatcher and Bram Stoker's The Judge's House. Doors open at 7 p.m. for the art show, and the podcast starts at 8 p.m. Tickets are $5 at the door, and all proceeds will go to Hands On Nashville for tornado relief. We will let you know on social media if this show becomes cancelled or if we have to change plans a little and offer this show via live stream. Of course, as always, this show would be nothing without our patrons. Yancey Pearson, Morgan Mitchell, Nicole Johnson, Lucas Lanius, Rhonda Gentry, Courtney O'Halloran, Tyler Laney, Brian Veerling, and Stephen Duke. Join the ranks of the undead by becoming a patron through our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/drahoon to see which tier level best suits you and give today. And now that that is out of the way, let us get into the heart of the matter, and hopefully you won't feel the need to drive a stake through it. This evening we have our last Interviewed by a Vampire segment that was recorded at Spinelli's. The guest I had the pleasure to speak to is a legend in the B-movie scene and has been making films since the 70s. The 1970s, to be more exact. His films fall within the horror and exploitation genre, and they usually have a very catchy title. Here is my interview with the incomparable Donald Farmer.
We purchased a vampire cop. And granted, that's a title not a lot of people hear every time. It's a very thought-provoking title. My question is...
Had Cannibal Come.
Right, Had Cannibal Come, and I want to see that, too. Why do you make the kinds of movies that you make? What inspires you to make movies like Vampire Cop and Cannibal Cop?
Well, I think there's lots of great police movies. There's Bad Boys with Will Smith, for example. But when I watched it, I thought how much better that would be if Will Smith was a vampire. So it's just natural that my mind would work like that. Yeah. The French Connection is another one. French Connection won Best Picture at the Oscars. But think how much better The French Connection would be if Gene Hackman was a vampire.
You know what? This is absolutely true. It's true. Everything is better with a vampire. Am I right?
I mean, even take a movie like Joker with Joaquin Phoenix.
Good
great,
movie.
A great film.
Great movie.
A great film. But if Joker was a vampire,
even better.
It would be beyond through the roof.
It would have won, as a wise man once said, it would have won the Academy Award for greatest movie ever made.
In fact, if Joaquin Phoenix had been a vampire, a Joker, there's only one way that movie could then ever be better, and that would be if he was a vampire, cannibal Joker.
Oh, that's a whole other layer of...
He would bite them on the neck, and then he'd eat them.
It would blow a hole in the universe as to how great that is.
That's a great idea I'm just throwing out there for filmmakers anywhere.
There you go. He's giving it to him, folks. So... For some of our audience members out here that may be unfamiliar with your work, how would you describe a Donald Farmer picture?
Donald Farmer picture is a sleazy horror exploitation movie with the ingredients of gore, nudity, and naughty language.
And what was it? The host, the legend, Joe Bob Briggs, what was the comment that he made that you were the authority of horror in Tennessee?
I've known Joe Bob for many years. I interviewed him like 20 years ago, and he's reviewed three of my films in his newsletter, and he said I'm the one-man film industry of Tennessee.
So speaking of that, please correct me if I'm wrong, I try to do my homework for these things. You have essentially made a film every year since 1973, is that correct?
About.
Okay. So, I'm curious, what got you started on this path? What has been the most important lesson for you that you have learned over these years as a filmmaker?
Well, when I started making films in 1973, there wasn't any video camera back then. Smoky Mountains. And then one day I thought, how much greater could I use this camera for if instead of filming vacations, I film my friends murdering each other? And the rest is history.
As any smart man would do. But what's been the biggest lesson, the biggest takeaway that you've had over the years? A constant thing that you've learned from each project. Is there a constant lesson, or is it different in every movie?
Yes, I've learned many profound lessons. I've learned if you rent a hotel room to film a sex orgy and cannibal feast, be careful not to spill blood all over the carpeting, or the owner of said motel will be very beat off.
Yeah, you have to take into account liabilities of those pesky things. So, this is kind of a tricky question. Tell us about your current film. But I guess in a way, it's not exactly current, is it?
Well, my new film, Cannibal Hookers, is a remake of my 1988 film. It's an all-new, all-better version of Cannibal Hookers.
You've fallen victim to the reboot madness.
That's right. It's only because I became acquainted with some actresses in this area who have been so endowed by our creator.
With certain unalienable rights, these are my favorite.
They've been endowed by our creator with physical attributes which demand to be filmed.
Yes.
Elton Harrington could have been seen in the new Bruce Willis movie. So.
Will here is a huge Nicolas Cage fan.
Yes. Yeah, she's the girl hanging out at the Trans Am and Mom and Dad.
So, do you have any plans of rebooting any more films in the future? Or are you going to try to stick, you know, come up with different ideas?
I'm doing both. I have two reboots in the works, both which I'm producing and are being made in Missouri by a director there named Jack Zelch. He's almost finished with the reboot of my Cameo Keaton movie, Savage Vengeance. And next up, he's going to be doing a reboot of my movie, Scream 3.
So,
then as for me, I've got original projects coming up. My next movie is called Bigfoot Exorcist.
I'm intrigued.
Which was a follow-up to my movie Shark Exorcist, which was carried nationwide in all Family Video stores.
He's got this.
And then after that, we will be doing a little film we call Debbie Does Demons.
So, just out of curiosity, was there a particular reason you chose Cannibal Hookers to reboot, or was this just sort of a luck of a draw?
Yeah, the original Cannibal Hookers is one of my most beloved films. Children everywhere cherish it and beg their parents to show it to them at bedtime. And so I thought, what better film to make a new version of for a new generation of young minds than Cannibal Hookers, really?
You're like the Mr. Rogers of horror.
I'm trying to bring more happiness into the lives of those excited young faces.
So, I'm curious. With the rise of streaming services like Netflix, Video on Demand, how has this affected your work? Has it simplified things, or is it created its own new crop of challenges, as it were? As independent filmmaking is challenging.
I think of streaming services as more money, less problems.
Okay.
It's a new source of revenue, but it does not interfere with my existing forms of revenue, which is making DVDs and Blu-rays. You can still do that with streaming. It's just another thing that has to pay you.
So, I'm curious.
And by the way, speaking of streaming services, I would be remiss if I did not point out that everyone can watch my last three movies, Shark Exorcist, Cannibal Cop, and Hooker with a Hacksaw, on Amazon Prime and Tubi. And if you don't have an Amazon Prime membership, you can watch them on Tubi for free. That's one of those streaming services where they make you watch commercials in order to pay for the movie.
So, I kind of want an insight on your creative process. How do you come up with the, like Vampire Cop, of course, you know, for obvious reasons, I'm a bit partial to that. You know, how do you come up with ideas for movies like that?
Well, that's the least of my problem. My problem is I have too many ideas. But with Vampire Cop, it was what I think of as a very simple mathematical formula, which is take one vampire cop, add three very attractive women in various states of undress, add extreme scenes of gore and violence, and you add those all together and you get a beloved film classic.
There you go. Now, over the years, you've had a chance to work with a lot of different actors. Camille Keaton, who's famous for I Spit on Your Grave. You've had Ray McKinnon from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou.
Ford versus Ferrari.
And yes, I forgot he was in that film. And,
in fact, just a few weeks ago at the Academy Awards ceremonies, two of the films nominated for Oscars featured actors from my movies.
It was Ford vs. Ferrari.
Ferrari featured Ray McKinnon from Vampire Cop, and the new Clint Eastwood movie Richard Jewell co-stars Andrea Lang from my movie Chainsaw Cheerleaders.
That's very interesting. So, my question is, and of course, it's also important to point out we worked with Matt Arnold, who's been in a lot of cult favorites. So
he's discovered by Herschel Gordon Lewis. He's the star of Blood Feast, where he played Fuad Ramses, the Egyptian caterer.
So my question is, has there been a star that you've worked with in your films where you your DVD commentary, but I need a little bit more of an in-depth answer to the question. How you took, because you essentially outlined the story as just a simple action flick, but at the last minute you said, hey, I'm going to make him a vampire. Now, here's the most important question of the evening.
It was originally going to be called Slow Kill, and we even had a theme song called Slow Kill recorded at a studio in Nashville. But when we changed the title to Vampire Club, we kept the Slow Kill theme song.
And it's quite a catchy tune, actually.
So when you watch the opening credits, that's why the guys keep singing Slow Kill.
Yes.
Because it's original. We didn't want to throw out our original theme song after we paid all this money to a studio in Nashville to record it. Waste not, want not.
So I have to ask, what can I do to convince you to make a reboot or a sequel and have me play the vampire cop?
Well, the actor who played the vampire cop in the original film, Ed Portman, he's now acting in big movies like he co-starred with Joe Bridges in the new True Grit film. Mm-hmm. And so we might have to offer it to him first just because he's doing so big.
But Donald, I wouldn't have to act. I would just need to be. And sure, I have to pass the PT test to get me accepted into the Vampire Police Academy, but it's like you said, I'm telling you, I'm on a roll, I can do this. I'm putting you on the spot, I know, I'm sorry.
Well, we need an actor who's going to be at least 6'4", 6'3", in that area, because he has to tower over his victims, so that they have to crane their necks and look up at him before he flies to the camera. And also, so that when he's having those hot scenes with his leading ladies, that the girl's nose only comes up to the middle of his chest.
I will make the concession that I will get on stilts.
Well, then we might consider it. If you'll have the surgery to have your legs stretched out to get you up to 6'3", then we would consider it.
I'm also a mad scientist. I can do the surgery myself. Drew, prep the surgery table. Prep the operation table. Yes, we can do this! See, he's the real man scientist. Yes, but he succeeded.
Well, there's many ways that you can add to your body. You can get the legs extended, but you can also just get that really high hairstyle, sort of like hidden play.
Just give me a couple of weeks, the hair will grow out.
Get one of those house party haircuts.
So, when you're not making movies, are there any other kinds of artistic endeavors that you participate in? For instance, convention organizer, Rocky Top Horror.
Yes, I do that. I'm the organizer of the Rocky Top Horror Show, and I'm also a commercial artist. And in the past, I used to be a newspaper reporter covering murder and trials. So.
Oh, I didn't know. Just another form of vampire, but we don't talk about that.
So making horrible movies filled with violence and depravity is much less stressful than having to sit through these murder trials.
It's good therapy. So, we'll be wrapping up here in just a moment, but you sort of mentioned it, but I kind of want to expound on it a little more if you can. Do you have any projects that are slated for 2020?
Yeah, our next movie, like I said, is Bigfoot Exorcist.
Bigfoot Exorcist, any others? Or?
Yeah, and after that, we're doing Debbie Does Demons.
Oh, okay. So you mentioned that before.
And then I'm directing those, and then I'm also producing the all-new Savage Vengeance and the all-new Scream Dream.
Excellent.
So it's a busy time in 2020. If the virus doesn't kill us all, I'll be popping out the movies.
You can make a movie about that.
There's already been several about that before it even ended.
One more word. I'd love to see. of this interview and kind of give you a chance to tell folks where they can follow you so that they can follow with you, any news updates about your films or watch your films, any sites?
Yeah, all of my movies have an official Facebook page. And all you have to do is go to the search bar at the top of every Facebook page and type in the name of the movie you want to follow. You can type in Camera Lookers for the Camera Lookers page. You can type in Camera Talk for that page. Shark Exorcist has its own page. Booker with a Hacksaw has its own page. So they're easy to find. Just type in the name of the movie.
Alright, you be sure to do that, Spooks and Spookettes. The Count sent you. And actually, before he leaves, I'm going to buy a copy of, I don't have a Blu-ray player, but I will take a copy of Camera.
This is a DVD.
Okay, perfect. So, Donald, I thank you so much for being here on such a late Thursday evening, but we are so thrilled and honored that you can be here tonight. And always keep in mind, you have an invitation to come back on to plug any more new projects that you have. Or if you want to join the Mary Marvel Mayhem and do some voice work, you're always welcome to us.
Okay, well, next time I will be bringing a tape measure and see if you are up to 6'3".
There we go. That's the next goal. Vampire Cop 2, the Dragoon Files. All right, Spooks and Spookettes, that's all the time that we have this evening. It's time to go, but be sure to join us here next time for yet another feature of Fright. And until then, as far as things go, the things go bump in the night.
In my movies, things tend to go bump in the night.
There are such things.